The National Broadcasting Company invites you to Meet the Meat. Yes, friends, once again, you're invited to Meet the Meeks, the Mortimer Meeks, who live on Elm Street in Civic Center. Well, it's mid-morning in the little white house with the green shutters, and Peggy Meek is sitting on the front porch looking at the Metropolitan News and thinking. Her friend Jill Donovan greets her at the gate.
Hiya, Peg. What's doing, stewing, or brewing?
Jill, come on up. I just had a sensational idea.
In that case, I'll stay on this side of the gate. Every time you have an idea, I get in trouble. And this morning, I feel like being just a happy, carefree child.
Then stop acting like a bird brain and come on up here on the porch. This flash is out of this world.
Aren't all of your flashes? Oh, well, we haven't been in the soup for almost 2 days.
Sit down next to me here on the swing and look at this article in the Metropolitan News.
I am sitting and I am looking.
Jill Donovan, don't you see?
I am seeing. Younger set of Metropolis starts day bureau. Enterprising youngsters set up clearinghouse for social engagement. Charge commissions for setting up boy meets girl business. Well,
you know, we can do the same thing here in Civic Center. There's a fortune in it. We'll be rich.
Peggy, it has been charming to visit with you this morning. Thank you for your hospitality and goodbye. I think I hear my mother call.
Oh, no.
Peg Meek, let go of my arm.
You sit still and cheer me until I finish. Now, do you or do you not want to make a lot of money?
I do. Also, I wish to live in peace and happiness with my parents, a Mr. and Mrs. Donovan. And I particularly do not wish my father, Mr. Donovan, to keep looking at me and shaking his head. All I can see in the future if we start a day bureau is trouble. And my father's dirty looks. Oh, it would be wonderful to have my father smile at me. Or just ignore me.
My idea will make your father proud of you. And my mom and pops will be proud of me, too. You see, Jill, we're going to specialize in getting escorts for adults.
But who do we know that's adults? I mean, besides our parents. And other old married people.
Well, there's my Uncle Louis.
Oh, the only candidate your Uncle Louis would be interested in would be with a steak and a French fried onion.
And there's your Aunt Harriet.
My Aunt Harriet is ancient. She's 25.
Well, maybe we'll get a request for an ancient lady.
Uh-uh. Well, Peggy, it has been charming to visit
with you. Will you go with me in partnership if my parents approve, will you?
Well...
Come on. We'll ask Mom and Pops, and if they approve, we'll launch our new business, the Civic Center Escort Bureau, Incorporated.
Now, Peggy and Jill, let's have one thing understood before we go any further. You two are not to go around the neighborhood with things to sell.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No soap, seeds, sandwiches, or selling of any kind.
Oh, but Pop, Jill, and I aren't going to sell anything, are we, Jill?
We aren't. I mean, we aren't.
Honestly, parents, our new business will be of great and lasting service to the entire community.
But Peggy, dear, just what is this service going to be?
Oh, Mom, we couldn't divulge our business secrets. We couldn't tell even you, could we, Jill?
Oh, golly, no. Like Peggy says, we couldn't even tell our best friends.
And our business is going to fill a community need. People will love us for it. Why, we're going to make everybody in Civic Center happy and gay and cheerful.
Well, if that's what you're going to do, Niecy, you can start right in on your Uncle Louie. Yeah. Say, you know just what happened to me just now? I sort of dozed off while I was thinking, and I dreamed I was walking through a big steak orchard.
In barefoot?
Oh, shush. No. A great big juicy steak, medium rare, hanging from the branches. I reached up to pick one. The branch broke, and doggone, I fell out of bed.
Yeah. Well, now, Louie, maybe your next dream will have steaks growing out of the ground, like cabbages, and you won't have to reach.
Say, that's an idea.
Yeah.
And here's another. How about you lending me a couple of bucks, Morty? Yeah. I just feel like ambling down to Joe's for a little snack.
Go back to sleep, Louie. Your dreams are more economical, though.
Okay, tightwad. Sis.
No, Louie, Mortimer's right. Take a nap. Maybe you'll sleepwalk into the kitchen. There's some cold beef in the refrigerator.
Thanks, but I ate that when I got up. Well, I guess I'll go down to Joe's anyway. If I sit there long enough, it makes Joe nervous, and he puts me on the cuff. So long.
Mother.
Oh, I forgot. Run along, dear, and you too, Jill, and have fun playing your little game.
Hey. Peggy. Be careful of my father's typewriter. He's very fussy about his typewriter.
I'm being careful. So, if you are unhappy eating alone, just call the Civic Center Escort Bureau. Now, I'll just type in our telephone number at home. There. We will supply you with a charming eating companion. Our escorts all have fine table manners and will either converse with you or remain silent during the meal, just as you wish. Also, assorted escorts for dancing, driving, walking, and so forth. There, how's that?
Oh, it sounds pretty good. All except the walking escort. Who are they?
My Uncle Louie. Mom says he's too fat and that he's got to reduce, so he might just as well get paid for walking and make us some money, too.
Imagine, your Uncle Louie making money for anybody.
Mrs. Moss back if we can tack up one of our ads in her restaurant.
She's busy, can't you see? Besides, she won't care because our escort girl will be good for her business.
Mm-hmm. Peg, did it ever occur to you that every time we start out to do good for someone, we don't do so good ourselves?
Up our advertisements here in the railroad depot, Mr. Munster.
Oh, sure, it's all right. Glad to do it, Peggy. Yeah, might stir up some excitement around the old town. Yeah. Hey, how's your folks?
Oh, Mom and Pops are just fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And your Uncle Louie? I say, your Uncle Louie? Is he still complaining about money?
Oh, Mr. Leach never complains about money, except when Mr. Meek doesn't give it to him.
Doesn't give it? That's pretty nifty, Jim. Yeah, that's pretty nifty. Louis Leach ought to be pretty high up on your list for the escort bureau, though, as an eating escort. As an eating escort. That man sure can eat. Yes, sir. Louis is a living example of the survival of the fattest. I say. You get it? I say survival of the fattest.
Mr. Leach is so fond of food. The pinups in his room are all of T-bone steak.
That'll do, Jill. Well, thanks a lot for letting us put up our ads, Mr. Munster. Come on, Jill. We've got work to do. Hurry, Jill. We've still got to put up an ad at the bus station.
Okay. Gosh, Peg. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Van Johnson came to Civic Center? Golly, oh, I'd love to go out with him again.
Again?
Oh, yes. Once before, I felt like I'd like to.
Go ahead, Jill. Read your list and I'll check it against mine. We want to be sure we put our escort bureau advertisements in every good place in Civic Center.
Oh, here goes. Green's Drugstore.
Check.
Olmsted's Undertaking Home. Peg, do you really think Olmsted...
You never know where business will come from. Olmsted's. Check. Next.
Jim's Barbershop.
Check.
The Bonton Mode... No. They were watching the front of the store. And,
Bonton Mode. Uncheck.
The railroad station, the hotel, the Bijo.
Check, check, check. Well, Jill, I think we've pretty well covered Civic Center. Now all we have to do is to go home to my house and sit down and wait for the weary, lonesome travelers to call us up on the telephone, and we begin making dates and coining money.
I wonder how Peggy and Jill are doing in their new business, Mortimer.
Well, by this time, dear, they've thought up and discarded a dozen new ideas. Yeah, that's the refreshing part of childhood. You don't actually have to do anything about anything. It's enough if you just think about something.
I suppose you're right. Mortimer, You don't think Peggy is irresponsible, do you?
Oh, well, I think our daughter is a charming, beautiful, and intelligent young woman, and that she inherits all of her mother's attributes.
Why, Mortimer, how nice.
And I'm very grateful also that our daughter does not take after certain members of the family on her mother's side.
I heard that crack, Morty. I heard that. And I think it's sneaky of you to say things like that behind my back.
Now, Brother Louie, Mortimer was only joking, weren't you, dear?
Why, of course. I knew you were out in the kitchen all the time, Louie.
Well, okay. But I don't like them kind of jokes. Besides, I was working in the kitchen.
Oh, really? What were you working on, Louie?
Well, sir, it's like this. I got an idea that'll make us rich.
That'll be a pleasant change.
It's about a sandwich.
A subject near and dear to your heart.
Now, March.
Yes?
Now, you take the average sandwich, and what have you got?
A sandwich.
Yes, you got a sandwich. No! You got a couple of slices of bread with some ham or cheese or egg salad or whatever in between. Well, okay. You put the filling in the sandwich and you start to eat it. What happens? The filling squeezes out from between the two pieces of bread. It gets on your fingers. It dribbles on your necktie. No matter how hard you try, it keeps slipping out.
Yeah, well, that's awful.
Not only that, but it's unscientific.
Mm-hmm. Well, go on, Professor.
Well, you see, with the Louis Leach sandwich, you eliminate the waste.
Hey, what about the waistline?
Oh, shush! I was saying, now you have the pieces of bread that fit over each other like a box.
Mm-hmm.
One piece of bread is bigger than the other.
Naturally.
Yes. It's got sides on it, and it fits over the other piece of bread and holds the sandwich filler in good and tight.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, I presume you've been busy out in the kitchen baking the oversized loaves with the sides on them?
Wait a minute, Marty. I'll handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, I'm just in the early stages of my experiment. I just made a half a dozen or so of the sandwiches with regular bread and tried to bend the sides down, but, well, it don't seem to work so good.
Don't?
Hey, were the sandwiches good, Louie?
Yeah, they were all right. Now, look at here, Morty. Are you belittling me again?
Oh, no, Louie. I knew that, like the true scientist you are, you wouldn't let the experiment go to waste.
Oh, get it, will you please, Mortimer?
Yes, dear. Hello. Yes. What? Well, I don't understand. Am I available right now for a walking tour of Civic Center? What? Could I point out the places of historical interest and have lunch afterwards?
Hey, Morty!
Well, I'm afraid you have the wrong number.
Oh!
Quiet. No trouble at all. Goodbye. My gracious, Agatha. That was the strangest thing.
Well, who was it, dear?
Make it good, Morty!
Yeah, Agatha, dear, it was a woman. She must have had the wrong number.
Yeah.
She wanted somebody to escort her around Civic Center and point out the places of interest. And Agatha wanted me to have lunch with her.
Well, I declare, the poor soul, why didn't you ask her to come over here?
Yeah. We'd love to meet your lady friend, Morty.
Louie, she was not my lady friend.
Oh, shut.
Now, stop it, you two. People do call wrong numbers, Louie. This lady probably got ours by mistake.
Yes.
Although, come to think of it, it is strange.
Oh, don't look now, Peg, but America's number one goon boy, Elmer Nelson, is crossing the street.
Act indifferent, Jill. It'll discourage him.
How indifferent can you get? Personally, for me, Elmer Nelson does not exist.
Well, hiya, Peggy. You going toward home? I am, too. Can I walk with you?
Changed your mind, Elmer? You were headed downtown.
I was talking to Peggy, Jill.
Oh, excuse me.
We're not going home, Elmer. We're on an errand. A business errand.
Oh, can I help? I'll be glad to help, Peggy. I haven't anything to do. Nothing at all. I'll be glad to help.
Oh, thank you, Elmer. But this errand, it's sort of a secret errand, isn't it, Jill?
Oh, like she says, it's a secret errand. And private.
Oh. Well, I'll be going, Peggy. But I'll be home after. I'm just going to hang around the house. So if you should want me to come over or anything.
That's sweet of you, Elmer.
Real sweet.
Well, bye, Peggy.
Bye. Goodbye, Elmer.
Oh, so
long. Now, that's what I call a real brilliant conversational type of fella.
Oh, Elmer's all right. He's just adolescent.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of two-headed. Hey, I'm getting hungry, aren't you?
Oh, I sure am. Golly, we've done a lot of work today.
Oh, we sure have. When do you think we'll start getting calls for escorts?
Oh, I don't know. In a few days, I suppose. After all, we just put up our advertisements, and it takes a little while before word gets around.
Well, hello, girl. Yeah, how's business?
Oh, hello, Mr. Munster. I didn't see you coming along.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm an old heel and toe walker. Yeah. Did you ever hear about the big race I was in at the county fair in 1903? Oh, sure. I was in fine condition. Yeah, his starter's gun went bang, and off we went. Heel and toe, heel and toe. Oh, you should have seen it.
But did you win?
No, I heeled when I should have toed and lost by a foot. I say I lost by a foot. Well, why aren't you two at home?
Oh, should we be? Why?
Well, the 10:18 came in from the city, an hour and 2 minutes late. Usually comes right in on the dot, 1 hour late. Yeah, lots of strangers got off. Looked like they was coming to Civic Center for a convention or something. I said convention or something. I give your business a little boost.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Made quite a nice little speech, if I do say it myself.
Oh, that was real nice of you, Mr. Munster. Real nice.
Yeah, I told the folks all about your escort bureau. Showed them your advertisement that you tacked on a bulletin board.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of the folks, ladies, was interested right off.
Oh, yippee.
Yeah. Headed right for the station telephone and called your house.
Wonderful. Gee.
Huh?
Did you say a few people have already called my house, Mr. Munster?
Why, sure thing. Ladies. I let them in the station office to use the telephone myself.
Gulp. Oh, double gulp. I think I hear my mother calling me.
Yeah. Well, girls, I got to be on the way. Mrs. Munster's got the victuals on the table, puts them on prop, and expects me to be there and take them off. I say, take them off. Well, good luck. I'll be plugging in new business every chance again.
Mom and Pops don't know anything about the telephone call.
Or the escort bureau.
They won't know what it's all about. They'll be mystified.
Oh, when they get unmystified, they'll get mad. Oh, I think I hear my mother calling me.
Jill Donovan, I'll be sensible.
You're telling me. Oh, Peg, what are we going to do?
Go right home to my house and listen in at the living room window.
Then
we'll find out how bad it is and what sort of a dire and drastic punishment to expect.
Oh, yikes. You know, Peggy, sometimes I sure wish I didn't live right across the street from you.
But, Mortimer, I don't understand.
Well, believe me, Agatha, I'm just as mystified as you are.
I'll bet.
I have no idea who these ladies are or how they happen to call our phone number.
Uh-huh.
But, Mortimer, one lady might be a mistake. Two ladies might call the wrong number, but...
You're right, sis, you're right. All those calls couldn't have been a mistake. Morty... Are you sure it wasn't the same tomato calling back?
Well, no. They were all the same. Now, Louie Leach, I'll thank you to keep your insinuations to yourself.
I'm only trying to protect my little sister, Agatha.
Yeah, well, your little sister has all the protection she needs from her husband and me.
Could be. But it looks mighty suspicious.
Now, Louie, you stop that. I know Mortimer is completely innocent.
Yeah, thank you, dear.
Still, it's... It is strange.
Yes, it sure is.
Sit still. I'll put an end to this nonsense right now. Hello. This is the Meek residence, and this is Mortimer Meek speaking. I'm sick and tired of this bum joke, and I do not wish to go on a walking tour or for an automobile ride or to the movies or to lunch. I'm very happy with my wife, and I want you to... my gracious. What? Oh, hello, Mrs. Beale. I mean to say it was a mistake. Oh, yes, a mistake.
Well, explain.
Mrs. Beale, I didn't mean to shout at you. No, I was shouting at somebody else. What? Oh, but I didn't mean to insult you, Mrs. Beale. Yes, I know you're Agatha's best and oldest friend. Well, I didn't mean oldest, no. Wait a minute. I'll put Agatha on. Agatha, here, she'll explain to you. What? Oh, no. Please, Mrs. Beale, if you'll just let me explain to... No, she wouldn't. She hung up.
Oh, Mortimer, this is just terrible.
Yes.
First this awful thing with these strange women, and now Annie Beale. It'll be all over town.
I'll handle this, Aggie. Morty?
Yeah?
Confess.
Confess?
Tell us everything about that woman that you're in trouble with. I know how to handle that kind of a woman.
Oh, Mortimer.
Come on, make a clean breast of it, Morty. I'll help you get out of it for my sister's sake.
Now, look,
for little Peggy's sake. Well, Mort, we're awaiting.
If this is the end, a man can only take so much. You left me at that telephone.
Mortimer, now what are you going to do?
Call the police.
The police?
Yes, the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover himself if necessary. I'm not going to sit still and have my life ruined, my marriage destroyed, and my family broken up without lifting a finger. Whoever it is that's doing this will learn that they've got a bear by the tail when they start to monkey with Mortimer Meek.
Peggy me. You let go of my arm.
Now, Jill, cut it out. You're in this just as much as I am.
I know. I should have stayed on the other side of your gates this morning. Oh, what do we do now?
I'm thinking.
You always are. That's the trouble.
We heard the way things turned out when we listened in on Mom and Pop. Mom thinks Pop's has got a girlfriend who keeps calling him.
And your Uncle Louie is convinced that he has.
But Pop hasn't. That's good.
But if he and your moms find out that we started everything, that's bad.
This is the end.
The bitter end.
Unless we do something about it. I've got an idea.
Oh, not another one, please.
Jill, we can't be any worse off. And we can try, can't we?
Try what?
Elmer.
Elmer Nelson, that drip, what could he do?
He could buy the Civic Center Escort Bureau from us.
Buy it?
Sure. Then he'd be owner and responsible for everything.
Oh, but Peg, why should he?
Jill Donovan, sometimes I think you should be a boy. You're that dumb. Why is Elmer always hanging around me?
Because he's smitten.
Exactly. Come on, Jill. We're about to go out of business.
But golly, Peggy, I don't know if I want to have a business and everything.
Elmer Nelson, do you or do you not want to get ahead in this world?
Or do you not want to grow up from a little drip to a big drip?
Well, golly, sure I want to get ahead.
You could use one.
And do you or do you not want to be a success?
Or do you just want to be an unknown goon?
Gosh, Peggy, sure I want to be a success.
Very well. Then I hope you've got sense enough to realize that Jill and I are giving you the chance of a lifetime. Besides, you do want to be my friend, don't you?
You do want to be Peggy's friend, don't you, Elmer? Her very personal friend.
Golly, Peggy. Well, you know I'd rather be her friend more than anything else in the whole world.
Oh, Elmer, you're sweet. Real sweet.
Well?
Well, okay, I guess. Only I haven't got any money, hardly.
Oh, don't you worry about the money one little bit, Elmer. Because Jill and I like you, we'll sell you the Civic Center Escort Bureau on credit. You can pay us so much a week.
Oh, just any old week, Elmer.
Gosh, any old week.
Uh-huh. But you have to promise to do something right now. It's very important.
Extremely important.
You have to promise to go right downtown to every place on this list and tell them you're the owner of the Escort Bureau.
Tell them it's called the Elmer Nelson Escort Bureau. Now, that sounds real nice and dignified and personal.
And when you get to each place on this list, change the telephone number on the advertisement from our number to your number. Now, have you got everything straight?
The Elmer Nelson Escort Bureau and your telephone number.
Oh, I've got it, Peggy. And Peggy.
Yes, Elmer?
If I make a success out of the Escort Bureau, could I sometimes, that is, I mean, you and me.
Oh, we'll see, Elmer. We'll see. I'll have to check with my parents. Besides, I might not be going out for a while. It depends.
Depends on what?
On how successful you are, Elmer, and how soon you get started. Now, good luck, Elmer, and get busy, like a little beaver. Oh, do we have to go in? Couldn't we write your parents a note explaining it all?
We have to go in, Jill. Now, stop shaking yourself to pieces. We have nothing to worry about.
Oh, that's what I keep telling myself. And that's what I keep trying to believe.
Let me do the talking.
Oh, gladly.
Smile and be cheery.
Oh, I am. Oh, golly. Am I a liar?
Well, here goes.
Nothing.
Hello, Karen. I'm here. And so is Jill.
I'm here, too.
Yes. Well, young woman, we're glad you finally decided to come home.
Well, now, Mortimer, don't be too hard.
Oh, I think I hear my mother calling.
Be quiet, Jill. Don't make it any worse.
Oh, can it be worse?
Well, daughter?
Well, Peggy?
Trap. Are you both talking about the same thing I'm thinking about?
We are not mind readers, Peggy.
That's what my father always says.
Peggy, we want to know the truth. We've had a terrible day.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mother.
Oh, I'm sorry, too, Mrs. Meek.
It started out with the telephone ringing. People kept calling up here.
Yeah, women kept calling up.
They all wanted escorts.
Yeah, and your Uncle Louie thought it was the same woman. And that I knew her. And that I would... Oh, my gracious, this was embarrassing.
Oh, I know what you mean, Mr. Meek. Oh,
but Father...
And then my friend Annie Beale called, and your father insulted her.
Yes, I did not insult Mrs. Beale.
Well, at least she thought your father insulted her.
But Mother...
Why, this place has been like a madhouse. Your Uncle Louis and I had a misunderstanding.
And Brother Louis has gone to look for a room.
Oh,
thank
but
goodness.
Mother, I can explain.
Well, you hardly have to, Peggy. Mr. Munster called.
Mr. Munster? Gulp.
Yes. Mr. Munster called from the station and told us all about your Civic Center Escort Bureau.
Oh, Mother, why don't you call your daughter?
Peggy, I'm disappointed in you. Terribly disappointed.
And I'm provoked. Very provoked.
And I'm miserable.
Well, Peggy?
As your mother just said, well?
Mom, Pop, we meant well, didn't we, Jill?
Oh, we meant very well.
We didn't mean to make you both unhappy.
We wanted you to be real happy.
And we didn't mean for Uncle Louis to leave.
We're both very fond of Uncle Louis.
And now we've caused all this trouble. And worse, we've got Elmer Nelson in trouble.
Elmer Nelson?
No. And we're sorry. And we know we deserve to be punished.
Speak for yourself, Peg.
So, go ahead. We're ready.
Come right in, Chief Benson. Okay,
Louie,
lead the way.
Chief Benson? Oh, Mother.
Oh, please, Mr. Meek, don't turn us over to the police.
Aggie, Marty. Oh, say, we got company. Oh, there they are.
I see them.
Oh, Louie, you shouldn't have gone to the police.
But really, Louie, this can be handled right here.
Why,
that's
yes.
Where you're wrong, Mr. Meek.
Huh?
After what these young women have done, this is a matter for all of Civic Center.
All of Civic Center? All of it?
Indeed it is. I am here first as chief of the police force, and second as secretary of the Civic Center Boosters Club. Peggy, Bill, allow me to congratulate you.
Congratulate us? Does that mean we don't have to go to jail?
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand.
Yeah, well, I'm a little baffled myself.
Aggie, Morty, the kids have done it. Stood Civic Center on its ear. The Booster Club realizes what a great thing the Escort Bureau would be for the town. And they've taken it over. Right, Chief?
Right, Louis.
And I'm going to be the honorary secretary.
Well, I never.
And neither did I.
None of us have. The whole town's buzzing. Why, down at the Boosters, we figure it'll help business, get the town publicity, and put us right on the map. Yes, sirree, this is a big boost for Civic Center. You can sure be proud of your daughter, folks. And little Jill.
They can.
Oh, saved from prison bars.
Yes. Well, now, this puts a completely different face on things, doesn't it, dear?
Well, it certainly does. Why, to think that you two thought this wonderful thing up by yourselves.
Out of our own little heads.
Jill, the goon boy.
Oh, yikes.
Come on.
Where are you going, dear?
Over to Elmer Nelson's house, Mother. We've got a business appointment, haven't we, Jill?
Oh, a very big business appointment. With a rising young executive who is going to be demoted.
Oh, say, that reminds me. How about a lift back downtown, Chief?
Come along, Louie. I can use some ballast.
Well, Brother, where are you going?
To keep a dinner date, sis. I'm working for the Escort Bureau. At last, I have the kind of a job that I'm cut out for.
Mr. Meek is played by Forrest Lewis, Mrs. Meek by Fran Allison, Peggy by Beryl Vaughn, Jill by Mary Frances Desmond, and Louis by Cliff Soubert. Others on today's performance were Alan Price and Boris Aplock. Meet the Meeks is written and directed by Les Weinrott. Be sure to join us again next Saturday over these same stations when the National Broadcasting Company again invites you to Meet the Meeks. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.